didn't write in the words between who am I that he should pray, not my will, thine for. And then what's the next word?
Open your Bibles with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 6, if you please. Beginning at verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, that's two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah was a prophet of God who had a heart for God. This book bearing his name has many passages which exalt and extol the greatness and the majesty of this Most High God. Wonderful book to read. He also had a zeal for the people of his nation, Israel. He was concerned about their spiritual welfare, and in no less than 26 times he speaks of them in his writings as my people. He identified with them. Isaiah was a prophet who had a hatred for sin and a hatred for false religion that separated his people from their God and cut off the blessings. And also it brought God's judgment down upon them as a nation. Isaiah was a man who despised hypocrisy. He didn't like people appearing to be something that they weren't. And yet what he preached with a deep compassion and a broken heart. This sixth chapter, the verses that we've read, is Isaiah's own spiritual testimony. It's a biography, if you please, of his new life in Christ, because he describes for us that drastic moment when God revealed himself to him. Remember yours? Remember the first time you got acquainted with the Lord? This was his. This vision that he had of the Lord became a dominant influence in his life. And he lived the rest of his life in the light of this vision. I know of no other person in the Bible who had a more exciting experience with God. This is almost equal with that experience Paul had on the road to Damascus when Jesus appeared to him in that light from heaven. Now, you and I may not have such a spectacular experience as this, but yet, in order to do the work of God, we must see what Isaiah saw in his vision in this sixth chapter. First of all, I would call to your attention the fact that Isaiah saw God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That would have been 732 B.C., the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah had been one of the great kings of Israel. He started out young. He reigned for 52 years over Judah. 52 years with the same ruler. That's like having the same president for 13 terms. That's a long time, isn't it? When he died, he was 68 years old. When he died, Isaiah was a young boy, about 16 years old, in the year King Uzziah died. Uzziah had led the nation of Israel through a very prosperous time. You read about those 52 years. All of the people loved their king. He was a hero to his people. And you can imagine the national grief and mourning that took place when this favored king finally died. Certainly made an impression on young Isaiah. He visited the palace and he saw the throne of David where Uzziah had reigned and occupied for so many years, and it was sitting there empty, vacant, with a dark veil draped over it. And that's when God gave him a vision of another throne. And this throne was not empty. The throne of heaven was occupied by a king who is still living. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. It was a time of personal and national crisis that Isaiah saw the Lord. And though the throne of Judah was vacant, the throne of heaven was occupied. One king had proven to be mortal, but the king of heaven is immortal. One king had died, but the other king of heaven continues to live on for all eternity, because our God is a God of the living, and because he lives, we shall live also. Now, this vision that Isaiah had of God changed his life, just as seeing God will change your life and mine. When we as individuals and as a nation see God on his throne, things will happen. And our nation today, and our church, and even we as individuals, need that new vision of the true and the living God sitting on his throne. We look at the world and the problems that are in the world. We look at our nation and the problems that we're having in our nation, and they make us despondent and we become depressed. But we need to lift up our eyes and look a little bit higher. And on the horizon, we will see the throne of Almighty God. God is still in charge of this world. We need to see God as Isaiah saw God. Now, verse 5, Isaiah saw himself. What happened when he saw God on this throne? Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The inevitable result of seeing God allows us to see ourselves more clearly. You cannot come into the presence of God without being made aware of your own shortcomings. Man sees his unworthiness in the light of God's holiness. And true worship never exalts man. It humbles him. It drives him to his knees when he's in the presence of God. Just as the fact that you're never aware of your poor language until you get in the presence of one who has an impeccable vocabulary. You may not be aware of your appearance until you're in the presence of someone who is immaculately dressed. And you may not be aware of your poverty until you're in the presence of someone who is fabulously wealthy. And you may not be aware of your impurity until you get in the presence of one who is infinitely pure and holy and righteous. Woe is me, Isaiah said when he saw himself. Now Isaiah had been preaching some very fiery sermons in the city of Jerusalem. In the previous chapter, chapter 5, you look in there, you'll find that there are 6 woes that he had declared upon the people of Israel. Look at it, if you will. It'll just take a moment here. Verse 8 of chapter 5. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. You know, it kind of gets that way now. Everybody owns all the property in the United States. Look at my house. I've got a fence here and a neighbor on this side and a fence on this side and a neighbor on that side and a fence behind my house and a neighbor on that side. There's no intermediate territory in between. When you go out, you reach the end of the city limits out here. You say, I'm in the country. No, you're not. There's a barbed wire fence there, and somebody owns that pasture land, that bare land that's back there. There's no place you can go but what somebody owns it. And that's a woe. There's no open land. And that's what he's saying here. Woe unto them to join house to house and lay field to field. And then in verse 11, here's another woe. Woe unto them that, rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. And that's not coffee either he's talking about. They may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them. You ever known an alcoholic like that? Some guy that wakes up of a morning and the first thing he has to have is a shot. And then after he takes that, he takes another one to wash it down. And then it just keeps on going all day until at night he finally falls into bed in a drunken stupor. That's the way they were in Isaiah's day. And he said, woe unto them. There's another one in verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto those people. In verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Verses 22 and 23, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. They justify the wicked for reward. Hey, you got a lot of that bribery stuff going on today, don't we? He says, woe unto them. And I tell you, you read that and you say, well, Isaiah had a woe for just about everybody, didn't he? And there's nothing wrong with a woe message. We need a woe message every once in a while. But there is something wrong when all you can see is the woe in someone else. When Isaiah got a vision of the Holy God on his throne, his woe changed. And he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Now this woe of condemnation became his own when he saw God. He saw God, and then he saw himself in his unholiness. And when his soul stood up against the pure holiness of God, his white became black, and his clean became dirty, and his right became wrong, and his strength became weakness, and his righteousness turned to filthy rags when he saw himself in the sight of God. Until we can see God as he really is, we will never see ourselves as we really are. And then came the low of forgiveness. Look at verses 6 and 7. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me. Remember these seraphims? They've got six wings. I don't know how he found him, because two of the wings covered his face. Maybe he had good radar like bats do. He's got two of his wings covering his face. He's got two of his wings covering his feet. And the other two he used to fly. Now, when I read this description of a seraphim, he's got a face, he's got feet, and he has hands. So he must kind of look like a man with six wings on his back. Because he says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal, that's a coal of fire, in his hand. He's got hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid that live coal upon my mouth. And he said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. When he confessed to the Lord, Lo, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. The Lord said, let's do something about it. So he cleansed him of his sin. Took away his iniquity. That's what happens whenever we see ourselves as in the sight of God, and the Lord cleanses us of our iniquities. But then in verse 8, he says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw himself, and now he's going to see others. Isaiah accepted this challenge of the Lord and committed himself to go wherever the Lord wanted him to go. He didn't ask where. He just surrendered to the call of God and waited upon the finger of God to point the direction that he should go. Now that's the mark of a man who has seen God. How can you say anything else to the God who is high and lifted up? And then here comes the goal of commission. And he said, go and tell this people. What are you going to tell them? Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. My, what a message. That is a strange message, isn't it? Let me give you an amazing thing about this passage of Scripture. This single Scripture here is quoted no less than 6 times in the New Testament, more than any other single verse in the Bible. 6 times. Isaiah volunteers to go and to preach, and the Lord tells him, now you will not be heard. They will stop their ears. They will put their hands over their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts will be hardened that they will not understand what you have to say. They'll not accept your message. Isaiah has just been commissioned to a ministry of disappointment and failure. How long, he says, should I preach? How long should I preach this way? The Lord says, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Now remember that this is before that 70-year Babylonian captivity. And that captivity came when the temple was destroyed, the people were carried away captive to Babylon, all the cities and villages, including the city of Jerusalem, were destroyed by the Babylonians. the land was laid waste and left uninhabited, desolate, for 70 long years. Isaiah is going to tell the people, but the people will not listen. They will not turn from their wicked ways. It's like today, whenever we preach to a people who are lost in their sins. The Bible says they're dead in their trespasses and sins. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell them how to be saved. You show them the way of salvation. Tell them about Jesus and his great love that he has for them. And watch their reaction. They will not hear. They will not see. They will not understand with the heart. And they die without God, without hope, without Christ. He says, you keep on preaching until the cities are wasted. You keep on preaching until the houses are all empty and vacant and the land is desolate. You keep preaching until there's no one left to preach to. You keep preaching until the job is done. Their hearts will become fat. Their ears will become heavy. They will shut their eyes, but keep preaching anyway. Verse 13, but yet in it shall be a tenth, a remnant, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Did you ever see a tree cut down? Several years ago, we had eucalyptus trees that we had to plant around our parking lot out here. I remember one of those trees fell over against the fence and we had to cut it down. We sawed it off about a foot above the ground. And wouldn't you know it? This is eucalyptus now. Within a year, we had three trees that grew out of that cut off stump. It seems that a tree, when it's cut down, has a seed in its stump. And then I look at this and I remember that in the fall of the year, you don't see that so much out here. We don't see the seasons here in San Diego County as much. But I can remember as a boy growing up in East Texas in the wintertime, there were no limbs, no leaves on the trees. And for all practical purposes, they looked dead. But then, when the warm breezes of spring began to blow, those limbs began to bud and new leaves began to appear. And that's what he's talking about here. He said Israel will be cut off, but out of their stump will grow a remnant, and that remnant shall return. So Isaiah, there's going to be a remnant. A remnant will return. Just keep on preaching. Somebody will hear. Somebody will respond. Somebody will believe and be saved. God's word will not return unto him void, but will accomplish that whereunto it is sent. We have that assurance from God. May God help us to have the vision of Isaiah. He saw God high and lifted up, exalted on his throne, a throne of power. He saw himself. And then he saw others. Our work is not in vain in the Lord. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. There may have been someone here this morning who has, through this message, seen the Lord. You've seen him in your heart, in your mind's eye. You have seen God in his power, in his holiness. May God help you to see yourself today. May the Lord help us to look inside and see ourselves, and see our hearts. Take a look at our lives and see ourselves in the sight and in the presence of a holy, righteous God. And when we see ourselves, may we plead for that seraphim to come, to take that live coal from off the altar and touch our lips and our mouth and cleanse us from all of our transgressions and all of our iniquities. And then, Lord, open our ears this morning that we might hear your voice. When you say, who will go for me? Whom shall I send? Help us to respond and say, here am I. I'm available. Use me, Lord. Use me. And then listen to you as you give us a personal commission to go into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all men, showing them Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, today, speak to our hearts. Give us this vision that Isaiah had, that we may see others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 487.
Number 487. Just a verse of invitation. Appreciate your patience this morning. Save you now.